Good evening. We're going to start by praying because I got an odd little message. I don't have a text, if you will, so you get to stay seated the rest of the evening. So we're going to jump into prayer. I'll pray for my message, and then we'll talk about what we're going to talk about here. So let's pray. Father, we just come to you this evening, Lord God. We just look to you for your guidance through what I'm about to speak, what you've laid upon my heart, Lord God. And we just pray that while it's kind of a goofy reason for the thought, Father God, it's a legitimate thought to think about in our own lives and our own Christian walk, Father God. So we just pray that what you put on my heart we can take and learn and glean from this evening, Lord, and we'll just give you all the praise and the honor and glory for it. In your son's name we pray, amen. All right, so like I said a little bit ago, that you can turn these down. I can hear it is fine, but face them that way. That is a lot of echo. But anyways, a preacher called last night, about 9 o'clock. For real, that is going to drive me up a tree. Is that coming back? That's terrible. But anyway, preacher called me last night at about 9 o'clock. That's much better, thank you. About 9 o'clock and asked if I would be able and willing to preach a message. I know he always encourages many of us men to have something ready in the case that he isn't able to make it for whatever reason. I'm going to take one moment. Can you get me a bottle of water from... Oh, his office is locked. Can you get me one from the basement of the teen room, please? But anyways, he always talks about how we should have something prepared, and I normally have a thought rolling around in my head, but I didn't have anything put on paper last night at 9 o'clock, so I got to thinking this morning when I woke up, and I was sitting there thinking, and something kept kind of running back in my brain, and I'm going to pick on Brother Ian. He didn't know I was going to, but I'm going to do it. But anyways, a few weeks ago, I think it was during testimony time, you talked about the pin that you are wearing on your lapel right now and then at work, right? That was testimony time, correct? Was it just us, private conversation? Well, anyways, do you mind if I tell about your pin a moment? But anyways, Brother Ian, I got his approval right now. You all saw it. He's got this really nice little cross pin on his lapel, and he also wears them at work. And I thought that was really cool. And he was telling me about how he passes them out to people, and he shares them, and it opens up the conversation for some other conversations with those individuals. That is drink out. Oh, okay. She hands me an open bottle of water with a quarter of it gone, and I was a little bit concerned for a moment. But anyways, back to Brother Ian's pins. I thought it was pretty cool. He bought a number of them and had passed them out and had some conversations, I'm sure, as he did so. And I asked him, you know, would you mind if I were to have a handful of those pins? And just, you know, wearing around, I took four of them to work. And I've got one on. We have to wear our high visibility vests when we go out on the floor. So I plugged one onto my vest. I gave one to my boss, and now I've given one to a couple other people. But it sparked a lot of conversation. Nothing super in-depth at the moment, but it sparked a lot of conversation. And if nothing else, it shows others, you know, they'll say, what's that pin about? You know, it's the cross. It's actually made up, I think, of the nails is what it looks like, the nails that they would have, looks like what they would have hung Christ on the cross with. But it sparked a decent amount of conversation and a decent amount of interest, good, bad, or indifferent, nothing else. We're talking about Jesus at work. That's pretty exciting. So those pins I thought were pretty cool. And my mind kept going back to that this morning when I was sitting there kind of wondering what to preach about. So it made me start thinking of other groups that wear pins or badges or something like that. And I figured a motorcycle gang wouldn't be very appropriate to talk about tonight, but no. But I started thinking of my time as an early teenager or something like that, where I was in the Boy Scouts. So tonight, you're going to get a lesson thought of by the Boy Scouts. I don't know if you've ever had that. I can honestly say I haven't thought about the Boy Scouts in probably 20 years. I'm going on 35, so it's probably been about 20 years since I've talked or thought about the Boy Scouts. But there's a group that wears a physical badge or something on their apparel to kind of show others what they believe in. So we're going to talk about the Boy Scouts. Like I said, it's kind of an odd little conversation, and I don't have a text scripture, if you will. So my first question is, am I the only Boy Scout in this room? Any other men been Boy Scouts? Brother Chip and Brother May? All right, so you guys have been Boy Scouts. I'm not alone. Got a favorite part of Boy Scouts, Brother Chip?
Camping.
Camping? Yeah, man. Brother May, I know you said it was only a year, but... Yeah, very good camping. I enjoyed the camping. I enjoyed all of those, but I really liked, and it's only because it fits my message, but I did like it. I liked getting those badges. You got a badge for camping. Did you guys get the little badge and put on your... Actually, we'll talk about that here in a minute. But getting those badges was a pretty neat thing for me. I thought it was really cool. It was a lot of fun. At times, it got kind of challenging as you went on. We're going to talk about what it took to get some of those badges here in a moment. But it showed others, you know, that you're qualified in that area. You've done something in that area. You've gone through a mildly rigorous set of qualifications to achieve that badge. Each of those badges had, they had a group of requirements. Some were relatively easy. You know, if you swim in when you were younger, you know, it wasn't anything terribly difficult. But as you grew up, it got a little bit more and a little bit more challenging. It got actually pretty difficult. Like I said, we're going to talk about one that's rather rigorous here in a moment. But that badge, it demonstrated that you had the ability. You had the ability to gather that knowledge and those sorts of things. And once every, I don't remember if it was month or quarter or whatever it was, maybe it was even year. But once every year, you would gather as a troop, and you'd go to some place, and they would have a badge ceremony and various other ceremonies. And you would get called up if you were able to achieve what it needed to be done to get that badge. You get called up, and they handed you your little badge. And you would take it, and your mom would, I imagine, did they stitch them back in your day, Brother Chip? Now it's just... Hey, you got me beat. I think we just ironed them on. You know, but anyways, it actually started. I started thinking a lot. Anybody remember Hawks over in Bryan? You remember Hawks? That's where we got all of our Boy Scout stuff. It was, I don't know. I don't know why I was thinking about all those things. It just started bringing. Does that mean I'm getting old? That I'm starting to think back through memories? Oh, no. Complete aside, but there was a gentleman at the gym the other day. This has nothing to do with my sermon, and it's a pure rabbit trail. I was telling my wife that there's this guy at the gym. He's a little older, and I said, he's probably in his early 40s. And she looked at me, and she said, that's not that much older than we are. And I said, no. But no, it's not that much farther until I'm in my early 40s, which is frightening, and I don't like thinking about it. It makes me cry a little bit. But anyways, back to our sermon and back to what we're talking about tonight. So back to the badges that you can get in Boy Scouts. I wrote down a couple of them. Aviation. You can get an aviation badge. You have to fly a complete jumbo jet by yourself, unassisted. That's not true. But I don't know what you have to do to get your aviation badge. You can get that. Basketry. Anybody want to make some baskets in here? No? I actually remember doing basketry. You take all those little reeds and you stitch them together. It was interesting. Coin collecting, crime prevention. You think they get badges and little fake guns and whatnot? I don't know. Dentistry, which I thought was kind of sat there, and I was sitting there, and can you imagine you're in the dentist chair, and you're laying back, and you got your mouth open, and the dentist got his little drill or whatever, and you look up, and you don't see any documents on the wall saying where he got his certificate, and you just look at him and say, well, how'd you get to become a dentist? I was a Boy Scout. That's where I got it. So I thought that was kind of funny. But I actually did look up the list of what you had to do to get your dentistry badge. It's pretty in-depth. I was surprised. Game design, video game design. Did you know you could be a Boy Scout and get a video game design badge? I'm surprised nobody's upset about that one. You kids and your video games, I tell you. But all those things, it goes on and on. There's a whole bunch of different badges you can earn. But looking back on, I don't remember how many I had. I actually texted my dad to see if he still had my sash from many moons ago, and he didn't know if he did, so I didn't go get it. I wanted to go get it and show you all six of them that I earned in my 12 years. There's probably not that many more. But looking back on those days in the Boy Scouts, it's actually a pretty fun group to be part of. I know they've taken some flack over the last number of years, but my experience was relatively a positive one. I enjoyed my time. But those days where you got to go to that ceremony and you got called up front and you got to get given your patch or whatever accomplishment you got, those were pretty exciting. So I got to thinking, you know, why do they give those physical little badges? Why don't they just give you, you know, hey, good job, shake your hand and move on? You take that patch and you put it on your sash. It's kind of like what you get for when you win Miss USA, right? You get your sash, but this one has a whole bunch of different things on it. What was the point of handing out that physical patch? You know, why go through the various pomp and circumstance? I was starting to think about that a few moments ago, or not a few moments ago, when I wrote it this morning. But it sat there, and it was something to show yourself, because it should mean something to you, but it's also to show other people what you've learned, what you've believed in, and that you have the physical ability and the capability to put that learning and that ability into practice. Which I thought that was pretty neat. As a kid, I didn't really think that in depth about it. I just thought it was another little sticker to put on my badge here or my sash, but I thought it was pretty neat nowadays, and I started, as I was kind of twisting this back into the Christian standpoint, the spiritual application, a thought rolled through my head. What if we, as Christians, did the same thing? What if every quarter, or every month, or every year, or every half a decade, or whatever, we got called up in front of each other, and we were given different badges for the different things that we've done, and so on and so forth. So what would that be? So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, our biblical badges. That's the name of this evening's challenge or sermon. But what sets us apart as Christians from the world, and then what sets us apart as from other Christians, if you will? And I'm not saying that in a prideful standpoint. I'm not saying that to be boastful about ourselves, but we should all be striving to grow as a Christian, right? We should all be striving to fill our proverbial sashes with different Christian badges, those sorts of things. So how do we show to ourselves and others what we've learned, what we believe in, and have that proven, demonstrated ability of what the things we've done for Christ? So tonight, we're going to talk about three different things. That's the only way to write a sermon, is 3 points. But we're going to talk about some different things, how we can apply this thought that I had about Boy Scouts into our Christian walk. It'll make sense here in a minute. But we're going to talk about those three different things. And I feel funny not having any scripture yet, but we'll get to one in a moment. So my first point is that some of those badges were required. Some badges were required. Unlike, to an extent, our Christian walk, the Boy Scouts have different levels of scouting. And do you remember what they are, Brother Chip? We've got a challenge. You remember any of them? I couldn't, other than the very last one. Oh, I won't list them. I don't even have them listed, so you can make one up. But there's Weebelows and Star Scouts and Life Scouts and Eagle Scouts. But anyways, you start all the way at the lowly Tenderfoot, the old Tenderfoot, which I thought was the little dinosaur from that movie way back when. What was that little movie where they had the dinosaur? Littlefoot, not Tenderfoot. I was close. I'm not that old. But Land Before Time, you know what I was talking about. But anyways, you get started at that lowly Tenderfoot all the way at the beginning, and then you work your way up to the prestigious Eagle Scout, and I ended up about 2 levels short. I was a Star Scout before I got tired of doing it all and gave up. But as you worked your way through that program, you had certain badges that you had to have. Those are the ones that every single scout that was in the program had to have. There was 14 specifically, but various things like first aid, hiking, citizenship in various circumstances, cooking, and so on. There's 14 specific badges that you, as a Boy Scout, as you progressed, had to earn. 21 were total what you had to have to get your Eagle Scouts. You had to have 21 total badges, and again, 14 of those were the must-dos. So I got to thinking this morning as I was thinking this through, you know, do we as Christians have any set must-dos that we should have in our biblical badge gathering? Obviously, there's a handful of required badges, right? Just like some of these badges were required, we as Christians have some required badges, if you will, as well. The most important, and I'm not going to dwell on it a lot, even though it is the most important, the most important of that is to be saved. The rest of these don't mean anything for us if we're not saved. If you don't have your own personal walk with Jesus Christ, if you've never given your life to Him, the rest of them don't mean anything. But we're going to kind of gloss over that. Don't take that the wrong way, but we're going to get a little bit more in depth. Go ahead and find Galatians 5, a very well-known verse. A couple of verses, actually. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. I would assume you all know it by heart, but we're going to turn there so I can take a sip of water. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. I think we can find a pretty strong list of required badges in these two verses alone. We know them as the fruit of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit. It says, verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." If you kind of want to boil down what a good Christian should look like and act like into just seven things, if you kind of wanted to just pare it down to those seven required things, I think this would be a really good place to start. All seven of those things would make a Christian a good follower of Christ. We need to have and display those seven different things. We should, like it says there in verse 22, we should love those around us just like Christ did. It doesn't specifically say that, but we read through all throughout the Bible. Our job as Christians is to love others just like Christ did. I would argue that's probably the most important requirement that a Christian should have, but Paul continues to list a number more in his letter to the Galatians here. It says, after that, we see that we should live every day with the peace and joy, not just circumstantial happiness. This is something difficult for, I think, a lot of Christians to understand. We shouldn't have just circumstantial happiness, but we should have an unwavering confidence that's rooted in the peace that only God gives and the subsequent joy by living in his will. I talk a lot about it with the kids on Wednesday nights, and not a lot, but we talked about it a number of times about the difference between happiness and joy. There's a large difference between the two. Happiness is based on circumstances. I can get given a candy bar and be happy, right? But we can have joy throughout all circumstances. We should have joy throughout all circumstances, and a lot of that comes from the peace that only God gives to us. As Christians, we should be dwelling with those two together. I don't like to talk about the next two all that much, but we should be long-suffering and gentle to those that offend us. Long-suffering, going the extra mile with that person or allowing that person a little bit of extra forgiveness if they've wronged us or crossed us. It doesn't specifically say that in verse 22, but we should be long-suffering and gentle. And goodness, another thing that Paul says, another badge that we should as Christians have, that's a pretty simple word. But I probably struggle with that one to a relative extent more than I should. But I kind of liken that to kindness. You know, it's not always an easy thing to be kind to people. Is it easy to be kind to those that have offended you or have wronged you in some circumstance? No, it's not an easy thing to do. But God expects us to be kind and to be good to those individuals. Faith, another badge we should have, an unwavering faith in both the terms of salvation as well as knowing whatever I'm doing it for the Lord. We're not just specifically talking about the faith that salvation earns, or whatever way I should say that, but having that continued faith as we continue to walk in what God wants us to do, knowing that we're in his will. We're trusting him, allowing him to make those decisions for us. We should have meekness to stay humble and not boast ourselves above God. That's not an easy thing for everyone to do, is to stay humble and to give God all the glory, but we should be meek during those sorts of circumstances. And then temperance, to show others our restraint and our patience in all things. So all seven of those things, those badges, those pre-requirements to be a good and strong Christian, a strong follower of Christ, are listed right there. He lists them in two verses. We could sit and list a whole bunch of other things, I know, but for the sake of time, for the sake of our application here, I found that this would be a pretty good and straightforward list of those required badges, you know, if we're wearing our sash, that we should have while we're here on earth. So just like those Boy Scouts that are required to have a certain guaranteed group of knowledge, we as Christians should have at least these seven on our sashes. We should be working to get those things. There are some required ones. Obviously, salvation is number eight or number one, and it is the most important of all of those. But we should guarantee that we're working within those two verses. Those seven things will grow us a long way in our Christian walk. So our second point, moving right along, is that we must earn these badges. We have to earn them. Rising through the ranks of scouting isn't inherently an easy task. Brother Chip, do you remember where you ended? No, he doesn't. Brother May, do you remember? No? It's not an easy thing to do. I ended at Star Scout, and I got bored with it. I didn't want to do it anymore. There's two more before you get all the way to Evil. There's a long list of rather prestigious and successful people that hold the title of Eagle Scout. You got Neil Armstrong. Anybody know what he did? Neil Armstrong? Yes, not just an astronaut. No, is that John? Who landed on the moon? Okay, I get him and John Glenn mixed up. But, pardon? Did they both land on the moon? Who was first? Neil Armstrong was first. Fair enough. Well, they did that in a studio in L.A. anyways. So, I'm just kidding. We won't go down that joke. Anyways, other than that, Gerald Ford, one of our presidents, Steven Spielberg, Derek Jeter. Any baseball fans in here? Derek Jeter. And even Elon Musk. I didn't realize that until I looked it up. He is an Eagle Scout. Fun fact, Elon Musk is an Eagle Scout. But part of what led these guys to that list, allowed them to accomplish the task of being an Eagle Scout was their perseverance. And surprisingly, not an easy and certainly not a quick thing to accomplish, getting that Eagle Scout rank. Like I spoke about a few moments ago, you got to have those 21 badges, 13 or 14 of them have to be required to get to that point. And once you've done that, you're not done. It's not just get these badges and finish. You have to do what's called an Eagle Scout project. I remember my friend did one. We did a whole bunch of tree planting. But what you're going to do there is you're going to plan your project. You're going to go and you're going to figure out how to do it. You're going to go and get the individuals to help you with it. And then you're going to develop it. You're going to make sure you have all the appropriate equipment and tools and whatnot. And then you're going to lead those groups of people to accomplish whatever it is you're doing. Some pick smaller projects. Some pick pretty big projects. But keep in mind, these are generally, 15, 16, 17, sometimes 18-year-old kids. So they're not grown men that are used to leading things. They're not grown men that are in charge of other things. They're young kids that are kind of figuring it out as they go. So to do that at that age isn't an easy thing in its own right. And then once that's all done, they have to go before the Eagle Scout board and get their final, they go through a big, long interview, go through all sorts of different things, and then they get their final accreditation once that's done. On average, I thought this was interesting, it takes between 3 and 6 years to get this accomplishment. It's not something that you just say, I'm going to go get the Eagle Scout badge so I can get some bonus points to my college degree. No, you take some time and take some planning to get there. That's probably a good reason why a lot of those individuals in the list of people that I listed are part of that, the perseverance and their effort. It's not something that's just given to any young man who walks up and goes and wants to be a Boy Scout. It's earned. On average, and this is going back to the specific badges itself, it takes 2 to 4 months to earn the hiking badge. You got to walk for 2 to 4 months without stopping. I'm just kidding, that's not true. To get that badge. To get the camping badge, you both mentioned you like camping. You remember how many nights you need? No, I don't think it was this many either. 20 nights, 20 total nights of camping to get the badge. And I'm going to read you the following requirements for your cycling badge, all you avid bicyclers. Are you ready for this one? So this is from the Boy Scouts website itself. It says, avoiding main highways, you have to do the following. Take 2 rides of 10 miles each. That's not it. 2 rides of 15 miles each, and 2 rides of 25 miles each. So that's a total of, anybody want to do quick math, almost 100 miles, give or take, of step one. There's another step here in a moment. But after, and when you're doing those rides, it's not just ride it and be done. You have to plan it. You got to list the dates. When you're done, you have to talk about interesting things you've seen on your 25. Can you imagine riding 25 miles? And you're on mile 23, and you're doing this thing. And you still got to think about all those interesting things you see as you ride your bicycle. Not an easy task in itself. Why are you looking at me like that, dear? I didn't get the cycling badge, just to tell everybody. I didn't make it to the cycling badge, because there's even one more step after that. So once you've done those 6 bicycle rides, there's one more task. So it says, after completing requirement B for the road biking option, do one of the following. Step one, option one is to lay out on a road map a 50-mile trip. Stay away from main highways. And then using your map, you got to make this ride in guess how many hours? Anybody? 8 hours. You have to do it in 8 hours. You got to ride 50 miles in 8 hours. Anybody in here up for a 50-mile ride? 8 hours? Daniel's going to ride. I thought about this earlier, too. We always, at least I liken things to where we live. We live in Ohio. What is Ohio known for? Flat. It's flat. Is riding a bicycle easy when it's flat? Yeah, it's easy. What are some other places not known for? They're not known for being, can you imagine being a Boy Scout in Colorado? You got to go make a 50-mile bike ride in Colorado? I'll pass. I'd go fly somewhere else to do that one. But that's one of the options, or you can participate in another 50-mile bike ride. So if that's not something that you have to earn, I don't know what is. I probably haven't ridden that many miles on my bike in 35 years, let alone 8 hours. But to an extent, going back to our Christian walk, this doesn't perfectly align with our Christian walk, but we can still apply it anyways. As we know, we don't earn our way to heaven. I'm not here saying, preaching heresy. We're not earning our way to heaven. So let's take, again, salvation away from this thought process specifically. But showing and exemplifying what it means to be a Christian is more than just saying yes to Jesus Christ. Obviously, I know that that's the most important. I believe you all know that that's the most important thing. I'm not going to dwell on that particular aspect, but let's take that away from our thought process tonight. So the rest of being a Christian in general must, to an extent, be earned. We don't just roll out the bed loving others. Is that always easy for everybody to just wake up loving others? It's not always an easy task for me to accomplish. It may not be one for you to accomplish. It must be worked and strived for. We have to work for those things. Soul winning isn't something that we can just nonchalantly do and it'll work out. We have to put effort into those things. You have to go out of your way. You have to be able to step out of your comfort zone and earn that badge of soul winning. Bible reading, it's not a hard task to read our Bible, not physically challenging, not physically demanding, but it gets to be pretty challenging. And if you don't continue to put effort into it daily, it's going to pile up and you're not going to be in your word as much as you should. We have to earn that badge of Bible reading. I struggle with this one, and I hate to say that from the pulpit, but praying regularly with fervency is a challenging task to do. It's not always an easy thing to sit part of your day to sit there and pray for others. It's encouraging seeing a number of folks walk out of the room back there. I was encouraged to see that from our praying time. But that's something that we have to put effort into. It doesn't just happen. We have to give effort into those tasks, those sorts of things. So remember, we're talking about our biblical badges. So how many of us, don't have to raise your hand, I won't make you raise your hand. How many of you have earned the badge of Bible reading? I don't have any prerequisites for that, but how many have earned that badge? What about earning the badge of prayer or boldness or love or so on and so forth? Again, we're not using it as a prideful reason, but more of a self-evaluative moment. How many of these badges would my sash have? Yes, being saved and having the Holy Spirit within us gives us the ability to do these things, but we must be willing to exercise that ability. We have to put some effort into that. God just doesn't allow us or give us all of the things we need without any effort on our side. We talked about riding all those miles on our bicycle. You have to earn that badge. Many of the things in our Christian walk are very similar. We're not riding all those miles, but we're working for those things. So God gives us the tools to accomplish everything through him, but it's up to us to use those and to earn that skill, earn that badge. So that's point number two. Point number one was, anybody remember? What? You guys all fail. Thank you. Yes, some badges are required. I'm glad you said that because I flipped my page upside down. Our second point was you have to earn them. And lastly, it's a pretty simple point. We're not going to dwell on it very long. But I'll tell it to you in a moment. I remember back in my Boy Scouting days. Again, I didn't have an enormous amount of badges. Keep that in your mind as I say this. But there was a number of Boy Scouts that had a sash full of badges. They had them all 3 or 4 wide all the way down. And then I think, if memory serves, or I'm purely making it up, but I think some of those guys had like an extra little one on their hip because they had so many badges and so many awesome qualifications that it didn't fit on their sash. They had to put it on another thing. So at the time, I kind of thought they were really big nerds, right? You know, we have all these sashes, all these badges, all those sorts of things. But now looking back on that, you know, that was as a 15, 14-year-old kid. Looking back on that, in reality, that's probably, as long as they got them genuinely and didn't kind of have the parent bump them into getting that thing, I was probably a little bit jealous. And I'm definitely now a little bit more embarrassed that my sash wasn't as full as theirs. I didn't have as many of those things to show the accomplishments that I had, the accomplishments that I had put effort into, because I didn't put as many accomplishments and I didn't give as much effort as they did. Those weren't easy tasks. We read about that. So this is kind of the crux of my message and what struck me this morning as I was sitting here. And again, it's a funny thing to talk about the Boy Scouts from the pulpit, but I'm not going to dwell on this last point long. I'm going to leave us with one simple question and we'll be all done for the night. So, how full would your sash be as a Christian? How many of those badges would you have showing others what you've done for Christ, what you've learned for him? Are you the kid that's only there because their mom and dad made them go? They had to do something, so they're there. So maybe they get one or two badges, and that's all they've got. And that's if somebody's being generous. They're genuine, yeah, nice to them. Are you the kid that's maybe struggling to get that final step done? You might get to the final end. You might start that 50-mile bike ride, and it took you 10 hours. And you might start it again, and it took you 9 hours. And then you've kind of given up. But I want to encourage you right now, as a Christian, and I'm not talking about riding bikes, you can do that later, but as a Christian, don't give up. If you're struggling with something and you've not gotten power over it, continue to put your faith in God. Continue to lean on him as you go through those sorts of things. Don't give up. Keep pressing for what God has in your life. You might not be able to make that bike ride right now. You might not be able to get to that point right now. But if you continue putting in the effort and you continue allowing God's power to go through you, whatever that task is as a Christian, whatever that task is, whatever that badge you're striving to get is as a Christian, you'll get there. Don't give up on those sorts of things. So maybe you're that kid who's getting stuck at the end, or maybe, hopefully you are, maybe you're that Christian that's got a sash full of badges. Maybe you've again, not in a prideful way, but you've done it all. You've been through things. You've learned some things. You've grown. You've allowed God to mature you in the way where you've done a lot of accomplishments for the Lord, and that's a phenomenal thing to have. So you're probably all done, right? You can just go along and pass off into heaven, right? No, Miss May is shaking her head. No, absolutely wrong. That's not right. You've got a job still to do. Your job is now to help the other ones along, to encourage that one that keeps kind of getting to that stumbling block, keeps kind of getting to the very end there where they can't quite get over the hill. Your job as a seasoned Christian, and doesn't mean just the older ones. It doesn't mean just the younger ones. Anyone can be a relatively seasoned Christian. You're called to be that leader, helping the next group of Christians, the next group of individuals come along and grow up. So again, that last question, and we can go ahead and stand to our feet. I'm all done. But that last question I want to challenge us is, how full is our biblical sash? How full is what we're doing as Miss Alicia makes her way up to the piano and we're all finished for the evening? Again, a kind of an odd thought spurred on by a pin that he probably didn't even know had that big of an impact on me, but I thought that was really cool. If you want a pen, I'm sure Brother Ian will be happy to share some with you. But as we stand to our feet, we're going to have those questions. Let's reflect on those things. But if you don't know where to start, there are some requirements to being a Christian. There's some prerequisites. Go back to Galatians 5, 22 through 23, the fruit of the Spirit. We know them well. And it's going to take some effort. It's not something that's given to you. You don't automatically say yes to Jesus and have all of these skills and abilities. You've got to put some effort into them and earn them. And then finally, like I asked you a few moments ago, how full would your sash be? How many of these badges, again, we're not doing this in a prideful way. We're not doing it to show others our ability, but more what we've done for Christ and proving to him as well. And she finds a song and begins to play. The altar is open. If you want to come on up, you're more than welcome to. Thank you. an odd message, but just the crux of it is where are you in your walk with the Lord? And not showing others pridefully, but just more of a challenge to self-evaluate where we are with our walk with God. Where are we in with some of these accomplishments that I believe He expects us to have? Father, we just come to you this evening, Lord, and we just thank you for your goodness to us, Lord. We thank you for just the ability to apply some of these things to our lives, Lord, and just to hopefully grow ourselves as Christians, Lord. We just pray and praise you for your goodness to us, Lord. We do again pray for our preacher as he's out traveling, Lord, with his secular role, Father God. We just pray for him to allow everything to be figured out and worked out with his work there to where he's able to be with us, Lord, without any hindrances, hindrances, Father. And we just lift him up to you, the whole situation. Keep him safe on the roads, Lord. Same with us as we head home this evening, Father God. We just thank you for a good day in your house, a good weekend with your people, Father God. What a glorious day it was yesterday. Again, no injuries, no issues, Father, just happiness and a good time with fellow Christians, Lord God. And we just praise you, and again, for all that you do for us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.